There are 39 milahot, which constitute forms of work forbidden on the Sabbath. It's the why behind the way we do the things we do. Join Rabbi Moshe Schnurb now for Hilchos Shabbos, only on 101.9 High FM.
This is Soul to Soul on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kiddush, Parshas Ha'azinu. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I hope that all of you had an amazing, meaningful, inspired Yom Kippur, that the fast wasn't too difficult for anybody, and that you're really feeling good, you're feeling accomplished, you feel like you're ready to face the new year, the new challenges, the new opportunities that will present ourselves as we go into Tav Shin Chaf Vav. Such a pleasure to have you all with us. And of course, with Yom Kippur sort of behind us, now we turn our attention, of course, to Chag HaSukkos, to beautiful, beautiful Yom Tov of Sukkos HaBo'alin L'Toivo, which is coming, Be'ez Hashem, on Monday night. As always, the show is being brought to you today as a Rufua Shlema for so many people who need a Rufua Shlema. Just a few names: Eliyahu Yochanan ben Shena Tema, Yosef Gershon ben Taiba, Yehudi Hill Halevi ben Shulamis Lea, Chaim Alexander Gershon HaKoyin ben Fredo, Shulamit Bas Devoido, Shulamis Leah Bas Asna, Tzivya Bas Etka, Michal Chava Bas Fega Aviva, Besech Shor Chorle Yisrael, amongst all those many people who still need Yeshua, still need Nechama, still need a special caress from the Rabbani Shalom. And Bez Hashem, in the schus of Yom Kippur, in the schus of this period of the year, Shlobi Zleche, to brachas, to atzlachas, and of course with becoming a yontif, to tremendous degrees of simcha. So let's start. You know, it's brought down that there's a special, a tremendous benefit in giving tzedakah and giving charity on Erev Chag HaSukkos, on the day before the beginning, the commencement of the holiday of Sukkos. As in fact, it's written in the Sefer, the Pri Etz Chaim, that on the 14th day of Tishrei, which is Erev Sukkos, one should make an attempt to give more tzedakah than normally. And that's because now this is a special time, which is in the Holy Book is called Tzedek, it's called a righteousness. And one should definitely give a certain amount of money to charities. In fact, it's brought also in the Sefer Or Tzadikim that one should definitely increase one's charity allocation on Erev Sukkos. And Rav Chaim Vital used to sit and distribute money to the Aniyim on Erev Sukkos. The Chidah also brings it in his Sefer Machzik Abracha. He brings these words of the Or Tzadikim, and he actually adds, and there's a very, very good and found and sound reason for this, and it's a special day that causes this special attribute of giving a tzedakah. A person should be very careful to actually take even some of the delicacies, some of the beautiful food that he's cooking for Yom Tov, and separate that for the Aniyim. And the Mat Ephraim actually also brings that in Simon 625 Tofresh Chafei. He says, Yesh laharbeis bitztok of Erev Sukkos. It's a custom to give a lot of charity on Erev Sukkos and to specifically invite guests. And not just, as we said before, guests or your friends, guests who are needy, who need a meal, need a place, need a sukkah, to sit them and to invite them on Yom Tov, obviously each person, as much as we can, as much as a person financially can afford it, to try to have guests over this special period of time. In fact, it's written in the Sefer Yisayid Rishayish V'Avodah that this is on this very, very vaunted day of Erev Sukkos, so it's a special attribute that a person should open his heart, open his mind to give all sorts of a charity, because it's because of its positioning in the calendar. It's a very, very auspicious time, and of course, Sukkos is called Zman HaOsif, the time of the in gathering. I want you to use that to gather into one's house over the days of Sukkos to invite and to host people that, again, that are really needy and need a meal. Obviously, people that are proper people that are close to Torah, and have them on our table. And that is, of course, a part of the mitzvah of inviting the Ushpizen that we'll talk about a little bit later. Okay, we're going to carry on in a minute. This is 101.9 Chai FM program, Is Soul to Soul. Be back in a moment.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Soul to Soul, 101.9 Chai FM, back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Hazinu. As we're starting to talk a little bit about Sukkos, we spoke about just Erev Sukkos, how important it is to give charity, to invite people who need an invitation, who otherwise might be by themselves, sitting alone at home or sitting in their own sukkah, to have them in your home, to have them as part of your family. But even more than that, the Yisrael Shesh Avayla writes further. He says, my brothers and friends, those who love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says you should know that there's nothing more important than those who fulfill the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. These are the people who are our merit to inherit and see the geula, the redemption and real freedom for himself and for his family, often for many, many generations. And it says the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will wrap himself around him every single day. And he's sitting in the shadow of the sukkah, and he's very, very close to the Shekhinah, to the divine presence. The Holy of Us, as we know, come to him in every single sukkah, and they rejoice together with him when he sort of shares his bread, his food with people that are needing support. People, particularly people that have a connection to Torah, that have a connection to Hashem, and that makes, that increases the value of the mitzvah of sukkah so many, many fold. And they get their portion also, to have the privilege of being together with these special vaunted Ushpizen, these special guests that we have on Sukkos. And of course, when they say brachas, it's a bracha that the boomerang is back on ourselves as the host. How can we not be excited? How can we not open our hearts to these people and have them with us, and to such a degree increase our own level of simcha? They tell a story about Rabbi Melech Milozinsk, and that one time on the holiday of Sukkos, so he felt in his Beis HaMedrash that there was a special kind of esrog with a odor, with a scent that was so similar to the scent of Gan Eden in his Beis HaMedrash. So he turned to his brother Rav Zusha, that he should help him to find this particular esrog, and which is filling the whole shul with the reach of Gan Eden. And the two of them went from one bench to another, from one person to another, until they went through the entire Beis Medrash. And they came to one of the corners, one of the sort of last corners of the Beis Medrash. And there stood a simple person, or at least he looked like a simple person, and he had an esrog in his hand. He said, this is the one, said Rabbi Melech, with great joy. Please, he says, Rabbi, can you reveal to me, how did you get this amazing, amazing esrog that you have? So the man, who was very, very surprised by the question, understood that he could not sort of get away without telling the Rebbe exactly what happened. And he said the following as follows. He says, my name is Uri, and I come from the city of Starlik. And as soon as I was already old enough to do mitzvahs, so the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav and the Esrog has always been so, so dear and so precious to me. And therefore, in spite of the fact that I really have no financial base, I'm a very, very poor person, I make an effort to purchase for myself every year a most beautiful, beautiful Esrog every single year. My wife helps me with the making an income for the house, and she works mamish as a cook, and I'm a rebbe. I teach Torah in the nearby my city. Half of my salary I use to support my family, and the other half I buy a esrog. I go to the big city, to Lemberg, and I buy a big, big, beautiful esrog in order not to waste money on the trip. I actually walk there all the way to Lemberg so that all the money I have I can use for the purchase of the esrog. And he says, even this year, I was on my way to the city of Lemberg, and in my pocket I had 50 gold pieces. And that's what I had set aside for the purpose of buying an esrog. And on the way, I stopped in a certain hotel in order to get a drink and to rest a little bit, because it was ready time for mincha. So I stood in one of the corners and I davened mincha. When I was in the middle of the tefillah shmon esrog, I heard suddenly a huge, loud scream. And after that, terrible sighs of someone who, mamish, I was obviously was in a terrible, terrible predicament. So straight away, when I finished my Shmon Esrei, I went to sort of find out what's going on. Maybe I can help. And I see a yid who was like a wagon driver. And he was a father, he had many children, that with tremendous, tremendous difficulty he had to provide enough income for his business, you know, by schlepping people in the wagon. So it was a very, very small income that he made. And he just had one horse, and now this person had a terrible, terrible, terrible accident. His horse collapsed under him and died. And it seems that the horse had finished his career, and that's it. And now he was crying and screaming with bitterly, I have nothing. Right? I can just sort of go hang myself up on a tree and finish my own life, because without this horse, so I don't have any means of support, and I don't have any way of carrying on in this world. So he says, I couldn't see the pain and the despair of this person, the tears coming out of his eyes, and I tried to comfort him. I said to him, don't worry, it's forbidden for a person to forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of this world, can help any person, no matter how desperate a situation is. right? The more that the situation is, it seems more and more impossible and more drastic, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can find a more beautiful solution for that problem. And even the owner of the hotel sort of had mercy on the person. He said to him, don't worry, that he's prepared to sell him for just 50 gold pieces an outstanding horse, which is actually, says, worth 80 gold pieces, just to help this person to get out of his problem. So the wagon driver refused to accept to be comforted, and he said, that's very nice. I don't even have 5 cents. Certainly, I don't have 50 gold pieces. And how can you suggest even to me to buy a horse that's worth 50 zehuvim? It's a joke. So at that moment, I felt that I could not continue and keep in my pocket the 50 gold pieces that were sort of I had guarding. I was waiting to buy an Esrig in Lemberg, right? So. Right now is standing in front of me this Jew that his whole life is dependent on it. So I therefore asked the head of the hotel, give me some bargain. What would be the final price that you'd be prepared to sell the horse? So the owner of the hotel sort of looked at me in wonderment, like he didn't believe what he was hearing. And he said that if I would pay him cash on the spot, he's prepared to give it to me for 45 gold pieces, but not 1 cent less than that. Straight away, I took the money out of my pocket. I sort of weighed out to the owner of the hotel 45 zehuvim. The wagon driver that was looking at us with his eyes almost going out of their sockets, looked at us with incredible amazement, and he wasn't able even to say a word. His simcha was so great. He says, you see, I said to him, even in a situation that seems so desperate, without any hope, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to help you. And he, together with the hotelier, they went to harness the horse to his wagon that was standing sort of stuck in the forest where the horse had died. There's one more point now. We'll be back in a moment with much, much more.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 High FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Hazinu. We are talking about Sukkos, and we're talking about the of Elimelech from Luzinsk and his search after this beautiful, beautiful smelling esrog, and the story about this person who gave away the money that he had set aside to buy a most beautiful, beautiful esrog, and he gave it away to this person, or at least 45 out of the 50 gold coins. The story continues. He carried on his way to, the man was telling the story to Rabbi Elimelech, he carried on his way to Lemberg, and I was only had the 5 gold pieces in my pocket. Obviously, I was going to have to buy a very, very sort of, a kosher esrog, but nothing special. But, right, something that would be kosher, would look nice, but nothing muhudr, nothing sort of a high. You know, usually I bought the most beautiful esrog, I would have to buy a very, very a plain one, right? Because with just 5 gold pieces, I wouldn't be able to get anything special, right? And all the years, right, my esrog was the most beautiful esrog in the whole city, and the most kosher in this city. And many, many people would come to me and make a broch of it. However, this year, right, Parshat, I was embarrassed even to go to home. I would go home with such a simple, basic esrog. And my wife agreed. I came here to this city of Luzinsk, to a place where nobody recognizes me in such a way that I won't have to be embarrassed that I've come with such a sort of shabby looking esrog. And that's how he ended his story. But Rav Elimelech said to him, but Rav Uri, your esrog is very, very special. It's very, very unique. Only now I understand why your esrog has this incredible smell of Gan Eden. Come, and I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. The rest of the story was when that wagon driver that you saved from his terrible, terrible predicament, and he was so, so despaired when he thought about what happened with him, so he arrived at the conclusion that you couldn't have been a human being. You must have been Eliyo Hanavi, sort of with the appearance of a man who Hashem sent him in order to help him in his trouble. And once he arrived at that sort of decision, he was looking for a way to somehow express his incredible gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But, you know, he's just a wagon driver. He doesn't even know how to read. So therefore, he wasn't able to even express his feelings through davening. He worked so hard, however. He tried to think so much in his simple head. How am I going to find a way, an appropriate way, to express my thanksgiving? At the end of the day, he took the whip and he sort of waved it, right, in the air, and he sort of with all his strength he called out. He said, "Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, I love you so much. I love you more than even my wife and my children. What can I do in order to sort of convince you of my love for you? Right? I will sort of dance with the whip in my hand for your honor as a sign, as a symbol of my love." And when he said this, he picked up the whip, and he began to circled it in the air three times. And this was during one of the days of the Aser Shemei Tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. On Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sitting in the Bezin Shamala and listening to the tefillos of that beautiful, beautiful day. At that time, Rav Levi Yitzchak from Berdichev, the great defender of the Jewish nation, was sort of pushing a wagon full of mitzvahs that the Yidden had done over the whole year, and he was pushing it to the gates of Shemayim. At the last moment, the Satan appeared and tried to interrupt and try to stop him, right? Because he knew also, the Satan knew that all the Averis, unfortunately, that the Jewish nation also had violated during the course of the year. So Rav Levi Yitzchak was sort of stuck there, and he wasn't able to go any further. So, says my brother, Rav Zusha, and I myself, we helped him. We sort of put our shoulder to the wheel in order to help with pushing that wagon further. However, we couldn't do it. Even all of the efforts of us together weren't able to push that wagon beyond the Satan. Suddenly, there was a strange noise, and from far away we heard the cracking of a whip. The whip of this wagon driver. And that sound turned into a flash of light, so strong and so rare, that it lit up the whole place, all the way up to the Shemayim. And then it was possible to see the malachim and all the tzaddikim sitting around them and praising and glorifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when they heard this sound of the wagon driver, that he was expressing his great love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, while he's busy cracking the whip, all of them unanimously answered, Ashrei HaMelech Sheavodov Mishabkim Lekach. How fortunate is the king where his servants praise him in that way. At that moment, the Malach Michoel came when he was sort of leading a horse, and afterwards this wagon driver with the whip in his hands, and the Malach Michoel hitched that horse to the wagon full of mitzvahs, and the Balagola sort of cracked his whip, and something amazing happened. The wagon sort of slowly moved forward, and it sort of rode right over all the Averis of Bnei Yisrael that were closing the road in to stop the wagon from getting there. And this wagon received straight and went straight up to the Kisei HaKavod. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech, Malchei HaMelechim, accepted it with tremendous chesed and tremendous compassion, and straightway rose up from his throne of judgment and sat on the throne of mercy, and therefore sealed a good and happy year for all of Bnei Yisrael. The Avayamelech finished his story, and he added, and now, Reb Uri, you precious Reb Uri, see everything that happened because of your schus, in the schus of the Maisa Chesed that you did, right? Go home. And you are going to become a great leader in the Jewish nation, right? Be a good leader, be a benevolent leader, because you've proved that you are actually worthy of that. However, before you go, please allow me to make a bracha over your beautiful, beautiful esrog. And that Uri became later known as the Sarif, right? Rav Uri Mistralik, Zechusa Yogen Aleinu. Right, from the sources that we've already mentioned, it became clear that there's this tremendous, tremendous, tremendous benefit, and we said in giving tzedakah on Erev Chag HaSukkos and on Chag HaSukkos itself, right? And of course, when we read a pasuk has to be taken in its simple level also, that a person has to give tzedakah in order that aniyim should have the ability to fulfill their own Simchas Yontif properly. And that was the custom of all the great tzaddikim all throughout generations. As it's well known about Chaim Sanza, that on Erev Sukkos, he used to distribute huge amounts of charity. And even though the whole year, the truth is, he gave a tremendous amount of charity to those who needed it. But on Erev Chag HaSukkos, he would give even many times more than usual. And he explains that there's no more beautiful decorations, no more beautiful noi sukkah, more than tzedakah that we give out on Erev Sukkos. And it's therefore clear that there's a special, special, special advantage, special, special, beautiful thing in giving tzedakah before Sukkos, in order to give other people joy. And however, if so, then really it should have been sort of obligatory also before all the Chagim, before Pesach also and Shavuos also. But there's something, there's an additional reason why on Sukkos there's a special, special mitzvah. So On a simple level, we could have said that this is already sort of entrenched from the very beginnings of our existence as a nation. Because even in the desert, right, the day after Yom Kippur, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai and with the second Luchos and issued the command to start gathering supplies that will be necessary for building the Mishkan, and all of Klai Yisrael responded, men, women, and children answered the call until within 2 days, as we know. It was an oversubscribed collection. The people bring actually too much, and that became entrenched for all generations. However, I think we can try to give even a different explanation. What is this tremendous, tremendous advantage of giving charity on Erev Sukkot? It's brought that to the in the Sefer Pardes regarding the halacha of building a sukkah, that the reality is a sukkah does not have to have four complete walls, but even it's enough to have two walls, two full walls, and one that's even a tefach, even sort of 10 centimeters is already enough. And he explains that three walls correspond to the three staples of a person's life: bane, children, chaye, life, umzane, and sustenance, which of course every single person needs in this world. Now, two of them, which is children and life, so that needs to be as functional, as complete as possible, not lacking anything, because his life and the life of his children, they should please God, they should be full, they should be healthy, they should be complete. But the third, which is the sustenance of a person, so even if a person is, doesn't have exactly as much he needs, and if he has a little bit, he should still rejoice in his portion. Because that third bit, even a tefach, even one cubit, and of course the acronym of the word tefach is toiv pas chareva. Even a little bit of dry bread is good for a person. A person should rejoice. So it comes out that the third wall, which is only one tefach, alludes to the parnasa, the income of a person. Now, the Arizal writes in Shara Kavanas on Sukkos, and he says, the Gemara says that you need two proper walls and a third one, even a tefach. So, you take your right hand, and you're actually giving a hug, right? If you put your arm around someone and give them a hug, so your arm is extended, that's one wall. You're going around the person, that is the second wall, and then that little bit that you're sort of holding the person is the third wall. So you have two long walls, sort of from the shoulder to the elbow is one, the elbow to the hand is the second wall, and the fingers that curl around it is that little bit of a tefach. And that's our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we want to give, so to speak, a hug after Yom Kippur. We want to sort of hug HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our arms. So therefore, the shoulder to the elbow is the first wall, the sort of the forearm curling around is the second wall, and the four fingers that sort of hold the person are the fifth wall. So therefore it comes out that the third wall, which is only one tefach, corresponds to the palm of the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there are two possibilities how to measure the size of a tefach. There's what's called a tefach, where the fingers are quite close together, Or there's a bit of a broader tefach where the fingers are slightly spread apart and slightly bigger. So the first one's called a tefach sheichek. That's a wider tefach. And sometimes it's more exact. It's where the fingers are actually closed and stuck together. Now, if the palm of the hand, which we said is a dimension, is a tefach, so if it's open, or if it's sort of closed tightly, that depends on the person himself. And by opening the hands, he merits also that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to open his hands to us and is going to become a generous tefach. However, if you close your hands on Erev Chag, then it will be a bad omen for you, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, so to speak, close his hands to you. And therefore, one should do his best to give tzedakah before Chag HaSukkos in order to open up the palm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is hugging the Jewish nation. And therefore, please God, to bring down an outpouring of food and parnasa for the entire Jewish nation. And this hug of the Rabbani Shlalom surrounds the person with tremendous light. And when a person, Chas V'Shalom, does certain aveiros, so then he creates, as we know, negative forces, negative malachim, who demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to damage the person who created them. In other words, the person who did the aveira. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu almost has no choice, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to allow them to go and to take their vengeance against the person. However, because of his great love for the Jewish nation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't see the pain, can't bear the pain of his children. And therefore, he hugs them. And through that, he hides sort of the sinner from these angels that want to hurt him. In fact, the Shem Shmuel says on Sukkot, that the air of the Sukkah is so full of Kedusha and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, and that the all the external forces, that they can't even look at that. It the light is so great that they're chased away. And therefore, a person that where he sits himself, where he surrounds himself in his sukkah, he's being hidden. He's being protected from the eyes of all the negative forces that are chasing after him and trying to damage him. They can't find him because they're not able to look at the tremendous light that emanates from our sukkah. And this protection of the sukkah is not only when a person is still in this world, but even after he leaves. As it's brought in the Sfarim, someone who has a sukkah, who sits in a sukkah in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts schach over him, even in the Olam HaMemes, and he protects him from all the malachim that want to try to damage him. And therefore, we can explain what the Maril Diskin says. He says, he once asked Mari Segal, what's the reason? How come we say on Sukkot, Zaman Simchaseinu? Why do we call it Zaman Simchaseinu more than Pesach and Shavuos? Because all of them, the Torah says, an obligation of Simcha. And he answered, because there was an exceeding amount of Simcha on Sukkot. Why? Because they would, when they had the celebration of the Simchat Beit HaShoah, they would light these four huge candelabras that lit up the entire Yerushalayim. But what does he mean? What is the fact that they lit these huge torches which lit up Yerushalayim? What does that have to do with the simcha, with the fact that we call Sukkot Zaman Simchaseinu? What's the connection? It's a good question. Come back after the break, and we'll answer the question. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. Please stay with us. We're going to wrap it all up after this.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 High FM.
101.9 High FM, this is Soul to Soul, back on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Hazino, just 72 hours before we begin the Chag HaSukkos, and we're talking about Sukkos. We're talking about the beauty of giving stock, of having guests in your Sukkah. And we asked the question, that although all the Chagim, there's a mitzvah of Simcha, yet Sukkos is uniquely called Zaman Simcha Seinu. Pesach is not called Zaman Simcha Seinu. Shavuot is not called Zaman Simcha Seinu. Dafka specifically Sukkot. Why is that? So basically, based on what we've been saying till now, we can perhaps explain the whole concept of lighting these four huge candelabras which lit up all of Yishlayim comes to teach us on the incredible light that dwells on the Jewish nation on Chag HaSukkos more than any other time of the year, and certainly even more than any other Chagim, because of the fact, as we said, as we described, the Sukkah is the hug of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because of that, none of those forces in the world that would want to damage us have any ability to even look at us. And therefore, we're saved from them. And that's why it's a time of exceedingly great, the great Simcha. So basically on that, we can understand very, very well why it is that there's a special ability of the Sukkah to bring healing to a person. In fact, it's brought, the Mat Ephraim actually brings that, quoting the Sefer Tzemach Tzadik, where he writes as follows, from the Sukkah comes healing to a person on all his 248 limbs. Why? Because if you take the words Sukkah and you actually spell out each one of the letters, so Samach becomes a Samach Mem Chaf, Vav becomes Vav Aleph Vav, Chaf is Chaf Pei, and Hey is Hey Yud. So if you add that all together, it actually equals 248. And particularly on the first day of Sukkot, which is the day where Avram Avinu is the leading guest in the Sukkah, because Avram, the Gematria of Avram, is also 248. And the Tver Shleim also brings that. That on the Halacha, in the Shulchan Aruch, brings down in Simon 640, that sick people and those who look after sick people are actually exempt from the Sukkah. And this actually hints that through the Sukkah, they would actually be sort of freed from all of their pain and from all their suffering, and they would actually be able to be healed if they were going. And we can perhaps explain that because of the great light that's in the Sukkah, that causes that all the external forces can't even look at a person, therefore they're not able to damage him either. And that's why a person merits true refuah, true healing in the Sukkah. And that's also the reason why we say that ideally one should not allow a non-Jew to come into the Sukkah, as it's brought in the Svarim. And therefore it says, Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu b'sukkos. Every sort of naturalized Jewish citizen, he should sit in the Sukkah. Because someone who is from the whose roots are from the Kiddusha, from the holiness of a Jewish nation, they can sit in the Sukkah under the shadow of trust and faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And someone who doesn't come from the source, the holy source of a Jewish nation, should not sit there, and really, you know, doesn't have any connection to the shade of the emunah. And the seems that this prohibition is an individual prohibition that the non-Jew himself shouldn't come into the sukkah. But the sukkah itself, right, is not damaged, God forbid, from the fact that a non-Jew is in there. However, the Sifsei Kohen on the Torah brings down in Parshas Emor that when a non-Jew comes into the sukkah, so that somehow impugns the holiness of the sukkah, and the Yushpizen aren't so happy. Now, we could perhaps add that as the Gemara says, the sukkah corresponds to the clouds of glory, the Ananya covers that the Jews had in the desert. And the Ananya cover were given to the Jewish nation in the merit of Aaron HaKohen, as the Gemara in Tainus says. And what was the great, great, great attribute of Aaron HaKohen? In spite of the fact that he was the Kohen Gadol, and you know, sort of the highest position in the entire world, nevertheless, he had, and as it says, that there was a special room for the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. And nevertheless, he never sat there by himself and just worked on his own personal development. But he went out to the streets of the city and tried as hard as he can to create peace between spouses, between man and his fellow, right? Until it's brought that after his death, 80,000 young men followed his grave, and they all were named Aaron as a sign of respect and honor for the fact that he had caused peace to reign again in all of these families, right? How hard he had to work, how much he had to persevere over all these things, and yet it's brought in the Medrash in Tanya Dveleyo that Aaron HaKohen was sort of would run around, go to all the people, all the houses of the Jewish nation, and anyone who didn't know how to read Kriyat Shema, right, or someone didn't know how to daven, he would teach him how to say Kriyat Shema and how to daven. And it seemed that someone didn't know how to get involved in the Torah of learning, he used to teach him how to do it. So Aaron HaKohen could have sort of sat here in his honorable position, you know, ignored everyone else. And if he himself was working on his own personal greatness, and he didn't have to do this. But he wanted to add so much old quality to the Jewish nation. Therefore, he saw it as his mission to bring the Jewish nation closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to create peace and to teach Torah. And that's because of his great love for the Jewish nation. And therefore, that aroused in Shemayim the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Aaron HaKohen, right, showed such overflowing love for the Jewish nation, that created an equal reaction in Shemayim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu also had this overflowing love for the Jewish nation to the point where he wanted to hug us. Therefore, we can give another reason why we give so much tzedakah on Erev Sukkot. Because the giving of tzedakah emanates from the love we have for the Jewish nation. And that arouses the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for us also. The Medrash brings on the Pasuk, the crown that his mother made for him, says Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai asked Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Yossi, said to him, is it possible that you heard from your father something? What does it mean, that crown that his mother adorned him with? He says, yes. He said to him, what did he say? He said to him, he gave him an analogy to a king who had an only daughter, and he loved her so much, and he used to call her my daughter. And not only that, he loved her so much, Until then, she called her my sister. And he loved her even more until he called her my mother. And that's more and more. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us more and more. And he calls us first my daughter. And that's why it says, Shimi Bas, here my daughter. And not only that, the love increases, becomes a sister. And it says, Pisri Li Achoisi, Rayosi, my sister. And not only that, he calls us his mother. Shnema Shivu Eli Ami Ulu'umi. Listen to me, my mother. And the Meshech Chochma. The Meshech Chochma explains that these three different expressions, these three of daughter, sister, and mother, right, are three different levels. Right? Biti, Achesi, Imi. They relate to three of the three Yamim Tovim. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Because the Torah brings down that the Yom Tovim were instituted to correspond to the Ovis. Pesach is Avram, because he made matzahs, and it was Pesach. Shavuos is Yitzchak, because the Kiyas Shefer of Matan Torah came from the ram of Yitzchak. And Sukkos is Yaakov, as it says, he made Sukkos for his clan. And therefore, these three levels of my daughter, my sister, my mother, they are also correspond to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and also correspond to the three Yamim Tovim. And Pesach is Avram, is my daughter. Shavuos, which is Keneged Yitzchak, is my sister, and Yaakov, which is Sukkos, is my mother. And we could say that Klai Yisrael on Sukkos gets to the highest level of Imi, my mother, because this amazing, amazing love that exists, the hug of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the beauty of the Sukkos. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us chus to truly enjoy the Sukkos and feel the light, feel the closeness. This is 101.9, Chai FM, program of Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a minute and just catch you up on the times for this Shabbos.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul, back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Ha'azinu, Tav Shin Pei Vav. A mere 72 hours until the beginning of Chag HaSukkos. But first, we have another amazing, amazing Shabbos to experience. Baruch Hashem, hot on the heels of Yom Kippur, a beautiful, beautiful Shabbos to sort of break the pressure of those 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkos. Hashem has given us this year a beautiful, beautiful Shabbos. So here's the things you need to know about this Shabbos. So firstly, the earliest time to bench your licht this afternoon will be at 4:51 is the earliest time to get your candles. That's 2 hours from now. We can definitely still do it. And of course, hot on the heels of Yom Kippur, we really are inspired to try to add something to our Shabbos. So if you can get it, everything else organized, get the food out, get yourself ready, get the house organized, why not take the extra plunge and add some extra time to your Shabbos. If you can't manage to get there, so you still have a bit of time. The latest time for benching licht today is at 5:51. 5:51 is the absolute latest time. Again, we don't worry much about the time afterwards. Yes, there is 18 minutes until Shkia. That again is only for emergency situations. It's not to be used on a regular basis, only for someone who otherwise might chas v'shalom come to break Shabbos. So we're not going to use that time. By the time 5:51 comes, everything needs to be organized, and Shabbos has to start. Sunset is then at 6:09. That's the absolute latest time. So if you want to make sure that you're davening Ma'ariv properly at night, so 6:27 would be night already, and you can then daven Ma'ariv, fulfill the Torah obligation of reading Krishma in the correct time, and go home and have a lovely, lovely Suda with your family and really get into this amazing, amazing Shabbos. Tomorrow, of course, we lay in Pashas Hazinu. Pretty short in content, but there's a lot of things in there. A lot of complicated and beautiful Rashis to get through, and something I want you to take the time to do it. And of course, Haftarah is the Haftarah for Parshas Hazinu, which is a perek in Shmuel, very similar to a perek in Tehillim, Kapitel Yud Ches in Tehillim, and we enjoy it. And Shabbos without, then Shabbos carries on, and we're finished with Pirkei Avos. So the Shabbos carries on, and Shabbos Kaddish ends tomorrow night at 6:41. 6:41 is the end of Shabbos. And then, of course, we get into two frenetic days until the beginning of Sukkot on Monday night. So I was going to take the opportunity, first of all, thanking you all for being with us, being part of our program, and also just to wish you all an amazing and beautiful Good Shabbos. And, of course, hot on the heels of that, a Chag Sameach, a Good Yom Tov, make Sukkot the really time of Simcha and generosity and goodness, as we've discussed, that it can possibly be. And really, we should experience the full lot of Vayisa Ach Sameach. You should be only happy. To all of our radio family, a Good Shabbos, and then a Good Yom Tov.